I'm going to ask you now, if you would, please turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Of course, here in the evening, we've been working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. Tonight, we want to consider together listening to God's Word. Listening to God's Word. Again, our text this evening is from the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 16. We're simply picking up where we left off last time with verse 19. Let's hear the Word of God. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate, at his gate, was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." The reading then of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, your word is a continual fountain, an ever-flowing source of grace, of life, of blessing, from which we can never drink enough. And we do pray, Lord, as we close out this day together, that you would bless your word to us, help us to hear it, to welcome it, to embrace it, to be encouraged and refreshed by it. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hear and receive and take to heart your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we talked about listening to God's word. Simply listening, simply sitting back and hearing and receiving and welcoming the Word of God. This morning we talked about just simply listening to God's Word. Remember we saw that the book of Revelation begins with that great promise. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and keep it. And then we saw in our passage, our text this morning, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so this morning we talked about simply listening and hearing and accepting and receiving God's word and all the blessings that that brings. In other words, God's blessings are not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we merit. But God's blessings are something we simply accept as a free gift. We simply receive them by listening, by hearing and receiving and accepting and believing God's word. So we began the Lord's Day today by talking about listening to God's word. Well, tonight I want to encourage you, listen now before it's too late. Look with me at our text. Again, we're just picking up where we left off last time. We're in verse 19, and this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen." Well, now our passage tonight is sometimes referred to as the parable of Lazarus and Dives. I don't know if you've heard that before or not, but sometimes the passage is called the parable of Lazarus and Dives. Well, we're going to see in just a moment who Lazarus was, but who or what is Dives, D-I-V-E-S? Well, Dives is actually the Latin word that just means rich or the rich man. So this is just, this passage is often called the parable of Lazarus and Dives, or we might just say the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. It's worth mentioning that Luke doesn't tell us for certain that this is a parable. Sometimes Luke does that. Sometimes Luke will say, and then Jesus told them a parable, saying. Sometimes Luke will introduce it by saying, now here comes a parable. Sometimes Luke doesn't. In this passage, he doesn't actually say, now this is going to be a parable. And so there's some people who believe that this is not a parable. Some people think this is just a true story that happened between two people, and Jesus is recounting it. And you know, you can discuss that and debate that. I'm going to assume, at least for our purposes tonight, that it's a parable because it seems to have all the qualities of a parable. Remember, a parable is typically a short, simple story intended to make one basic point. And that seems to fit our passage tonight. It's good to ask questions of a passage. You know, that's one way we learn, we understand, we ask questions. Sometimes, though, in parables, we ask the wrong questions. You know, we get curious. And parables, remember, they're simple. They're usually intended to make one point, so it doesn't go off in details and answers all the questions that we might be curious about. Our passage tonight, whether it's a parable or not, is going to raise all kinds of questions. Okay, and the challenge tonight is to keep in mind, what's the main point? If this is a parable, which I think it is, what's the main point? There are going to be some things maybe we don't understand tonight, but what's the main point? Well, this is what Jesus says. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. Okay, well, it's not a wrong to be rich. It's not a sin to be rich. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. There's nothing inherently wrong with being rich. In fact, sometimes riches can be a blessing. Sometimes they can be a sign of God's blessing. God blessed Abraham and made him rich. God blessed Job and made him rich. So it's not inherently wrong to be rich. But we see something in our passage about this rich man that you'll never read about Abraham. You'll never read about Job. It says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple. Well, in the ancient world, most people wore very plain clothes. I mean, we've seen that in the first century Palestine. Of course, most people were poor. Many of the people that Jesus is ministering to were often poor or very, very sick. They were struggling for food. You certainly couldn't afford to have clothes or cloth that's been dyed. It was expensive to have cloth dyed or to have clothing that's made from dyed or colored cloth. So it was rare to see someone, even in Scripture, who's wearing colorful clothing. But that's especially true when it comes to the color purple. Purple was especially expensive. The color purple back then came from shellfish, like a clam. It was kind of a sea mollusk. That's how they got the color, the purple, for the dye. And so purple was especially unusual for clothing. In fact, typically, only kings could afford to wear purple. You may have even heard the expression, royal purple, you know. Purple was often associated with royalty, and in many churches even today, sometimes churches, you know, use sashes and things of different color. Purple is often used to talk about the royalty of Christ. Christ is our Lord. Only kings typically could afford to wear purple. Here is a rich man who was clothed in purple. Now, it's not wrong to dress up. It's not wrong to look nice. Certainly there are special occasions when it's appropriate to dress up. Your wedding would be a certain appropriate day to dress up and look your best. But this isn't talking about one particular day or a special occasion. This is just talking about the way the man typically dressed. Here is a rich man who was typically dressed in purple. Well, that tells us, number one, this is a very wealthy man. If he can regularly dress himself like a king, it also tells us how he chose to spend his money. He's a very, very wealthy man, and he's spending his money on his appearances. Jesus says, there was a rich man who is clothed in purple and fine linen. Well, some scholars have suggested that that's a reference to a very specific kind of fine linen that came only from Egypt, which would mean this wealthy man is wearing imported clothing. He doesn't wear the local stuff. He didn't wear the stuff off the racks. He has some fine imported clothing. He only wears the finest royal clothing. This is a wealthy man, a very rich man, and he dresses like it. He spends his money on his clothing and on his pleasure. It says here, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. I'm sure there were times when Abraham dressed up for a special occasion. We know there were times, perhaps, when Job enjoyed a nice meal with his children. But this man clothed himself in royal clothing and fine linen all the time, and he feasted sumptuously every single day. So the idea here is this man is unusually wealthy, and he spends his money, his wealth, on his appearances and on his pleasures, his appetite, his stomach. Jesus, again, I believe, is telling a parable. So he's going to tell us a story with one basic point. And so what Jesus is doing is he's setting up for us a contrast. Okay? There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus. So we have a very distinct contrast, which is ideal for making a point. We've got a rich man who is so exceedingly wealthy, who dresses himself like a king every day, and he feasts sumptuously every day. He spends all his money on himself. And in contrast, here we have not just a typical guy, but a poor man. A poor man. And it says that this poor man was laid at the rich man's gate. Well, the word gate there is kind of a technical word that usually would refer not just to a doorway, but to the entrance of a palace. So at least the image here would be that this wealthy man lives in a palace, a mansion. And this is just not just your typical doorstop. This is a fancy gate where Lazarus was laid. Well, it doesn't just say Lazarus would sit there or stand there. But at his gate was laid a poor man. The implication is that Lazarus himself apparently couldn't walk or couldn't stand. Apparently he was lame, and he would have to be carried to this gate and laid down there. That's the implication here, that he was a man who wasn't able to make a living. He wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to provide for his family. In fact, he probably wasn't able to have a family. And so he had to be carried and laid there at the gate of this rich man. Okay, you remember in the ancient world, just like in some parts of the world today, there's not the kind of modern medicine we enjoy in our country. And so people with all sorts of conditions that in our country would probably be treated go untreated. And so it's not unusual, even in some parts of the world today, to see a lot of people who maybe can't walk or have really, really severe untreated problems. It wasn't unusual in the ancient world to see someone like this laid in a prominent place where he could beg as people walked by. So here is poor Lazarus. Not only is he poor, but he is apparently a beggar. He's apparently lame, and he's lying there, okay, at the gate of this rich man, apparently hoping for some sort of handout. Well, this tells us a couple of things just to get started. Number one, the rich man has ample opportunity to help Lazarus, okay? You know, this is not like some need that the rich man doesn't know about. Lazarus is right there on his gate. So every day, whenever the rich man leaves his house, there's this poor man. It's right in his face. You know, sometimes we hear about a need and we say, well, I didn't know. If I would have known, I could have done something. Or sometimes there's a need that's too far away. We don't have the resources. here is a man right there in your doorstep. And the rich man is so exceedingly rich. We know he has the money. He's dressing like a king. He's feasting sumptuously every day. And here is this man right at his doorstep. So we know he had ample opportunity to take care of Lazarus. And especially, we see tonight that Lazarus wasn't asking for much. Sometimes people ask from us more than we can give. You know, sometimes we become so overwhelmed with the need, we think, well, what's the point? I could give everything I have and it wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket. In this case, Lazarus really isn't asking for much. It says, at the rich man's gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores. So not only is he poor and apparently lame and forced to beg, but he's covered with sores, some sort of boils or scabs, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus is not asking for much. Okay, he's not asking to sit at the rich man and table and feast sumptuously every day. He's not even asking for leftovers. He's just saying, can I eat the stuff that falls on the floor? So it's not like he's having an unreasonable request here. He's right there. The rich man would pass him every day, every time he leaves his house, every time he comes in. And Lazarus is not asking for much. The rich man has more than enough supplies and opportunity to do something to help him. Then it says, moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, it's funny. Funny things the scholars debate about. They went, what is the significance of these dogs coming and licking the sores? Whose dogs are they? People debate all kinds of things. We don't know, but keep in mind that in the ancient world, dogs were not what we normally think of. We think of dogs as our favorite pets. You know, we love our dogs and we pamper them and we name them and we bathe them and we get them taken care of and we're attached to them. In the ancient world, dogs typically ran wild. They were scavengers. They were unclean. You know, that was kind of the Gentiles were called dogs in the sense that the dogs were unclean. They carried all kind of vermin and disease and ticks and fleas. And so the picture here is Lazarus, poor guy, is laying there on the steps, and these dogs that you would avoid these dogs. These were dogs in the street. They were unclean. These dogs are coming up to him, and they're gathering around him, and they're licking his sores. And the idea is, well, if the rich man's got it all, Lazarus has got it pretty rough. I mentioned one other thing before we go on, and that is the name Lazarus. In the Greek, it's spelled a little different, Lazarus or something. But it's actually kind of it's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Eliezer, which means my God helps or my God has helped. And it's interesting. The rich man's not named, which that in itself is kind of interesting because you'd be more inclined to name the rich man than name the poor guy, this, you know. But the fact that he's named this suggests that that while the rich man loves himself and invests in himself and spends his wealth on himself, the suggestion is that Lazarus is a man who's relying upon the Lord for help. Even though his circumstances are so incredibly difficult, he hasn't become bitter, he hasn't become angry, he is trusting in the Lord to help him and provide for him. Okay, so assuming this is a parable, Jesus has sort of set up the background. He's given us the contrast between the rich man who lives for himself and poor Lazarus who is trusting the Lord but who is suffering. Well, now, verse 22 says, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Okay, this is a kind of a Hebrew expression. You remember the Hebrew people thought very highly of Abraham. They were descendants of Abraham. God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. And so to be taken to Abraham's bosom, to be taken to Abraham's side, that's a picture of blessing. Okay, that's blessedness. Ah, to be with Father Abraham. It's a picture of heaven. That's the idea. Poor Lazarus dies, and his soul is carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, to Abraham's side. The idea that he has gone to heaven and gone to this place of blessing. The rich man also died and was buried. Well, that's kind of curious. It says the poor man died and was, you know, carried off to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. It doesn't mention the poor man's buried. It makes you wonder if the poor man was buried. If so, who buried him? Did he have any family at all? Who paid for the burial? You know, in many cases, someone like that, their body would just be kind of brushed off to the side or discarded or sort of thrown into a sort of a public tomb. That was the sort of thing would happen. But with rich man, it specifically says he died and was buried, suggesting maybe a big to-do, a big ceremony, a big show. The poor man died and was carried off to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment. So here's the turn, here's the twist. The poor man dies and goes to be in heaven. The rich man dies and is in hell. He's in torment. And being there, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. So here is the rich man. He is in hell. He is in torment. And he looks, and at a great distance, he can see Father Abraham, and he can see Lazarus in the land of the blessed, being blessed in the bosom of Abraham. He sees Lazarus there in heaven with Abraham. Again, if you read this the wrong way, it can raise all kind of questions. Will people in hell be able to see people in heaven? You know, it's a parable. It's intended to be a simple story with one basic point. So, I mean, you can take some of those details any way you want to, but we want to make sure we don't miss the basic point. The rich man, being in torment, lifts up his eyes. He sees Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he called out, "Father Abraham." Okay, remember, the Jewish people trusted in the fact that they were Jewish. Abraham was their father. So he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Now that's interesting, because the rich man never showed any mercy on Lazarus, not that we know of. And yet when he's suffering, when the shoe's on the other foot, oh, he wants mercy. He's asking for mercy. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Now, this is the same man who, during his own lifetime, apparently thought it was necessary to feast sumptuously every day. But now that he's in agony, he's in torment, oh, he just wants to be able to drink some water, a drip of water off of Lazarus's finger. I suspect back before they died, you think the rich man would drink a drop of water off of Lazarus's finger? I don't think so. I mean, Lazarus was a poor man covered in sores, laying there on the ground. But now things have been reversed. The rich man is in torment in hell, and he says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Let Lazarus dip his finger in water and just give me a drop or two. For I am in anguish in this flame." It's interesting that not only is the rich man asking for mercy, but he's still kind of talking down. He's talking to Abraham, but he's talking as if Lazarus is his servant. You know, send Lazarus to do something for me. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, And Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But he's comforted here, and you are in anguish." In other words, in the parable, Abraham responds and says to the rich man, that wouldn't be proper. Okay, it would be improper. He says, you know, in your lifetime, to the rich man, he said, you received all these blessings, and you spent them on yourself. You know, and you had no compassion on poor Lazarus with all his sufferings. And now you're in hell where you belong, and yet poor Lazarus, with all his suffering, trusted in the Lord, and now Lazarus is being blessed in heaven. It wouldn't be appropriate. It wouldn't be proper to make Lazarus leave heaven and come down and provide relief for you down there in hell. Abraham says it wouldn't be proper and it wouldn't be possible. He says, besides all this, verse 26, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. This is a very sort of Palestinian image, because remember in Palestine it was mountainous, and there are these big chasms in Palestine. During the rainy season, there'd be, you know, big rushing rivers of water, but during most of the year they would dry up, these wadis. And so you'd have these big canyons, or these dry chasms, and you know, you might be geographically close to someone, but you could do is yell to each other. You couldn't cross over because the big gulf. Well, that's kind of the picture here. Is Abraham says there's a big chasm, right, between heaven and hell. So he says, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. He says there's a big chasm so that people from heaven can't come down to help people in hell, and people in hell can't decide they've had enough and try to get over to heaven. In other words, you need to listen to God's word now, before it's too late. If you remember where we left off, back in chapter 15, Jesus was talking about having proper relationships with other people. He gave us the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son, and it was all about how the Pharisees should welcome in the tax collectors and the sinners and all the people coming to Jesus. It was all about having the right attitude and compassion and mercy toward other people. That was chapter 15. And then chapter 16 so far has been about having the right attitude toward your wealth, toward your money. Remember, Jesus told that, we call it the parable of the dishonest or the shrewd manager. And Jesus says, you know, use your money in a shrewd way. In other words, use your money in a way keeping in mind that there is a life to come. And so use your money now, investing for that life to come. And so he's been talking about money and the right use of money. And when we left off back in verse 13, Jesus has just told the Pharisees, you cannot serve God in money. So chapter 15 was all about the way you treat other people and showing mercy and compassion, your right relationship with people. Chapter 16 has been about your right relationship with money. You got to serve the Lord more than money. You can't put money first. And remember, in verse 14, it says, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. So Jesus, showing love and compassion, just like he showed love and compassion on the sinners and tax collectors by welcoming them, he was showing love and compassion on the Pharisees by warning them, by saying, look, you can't serve God and money at the same time. You got to choose. That was a compassionate thing to do, to love them enough to warn them and tell them the truth. The Pharisees heard it, that's what it says, but they ridiculed him. They mocked, they heard it, but they didn't really listen. They didn't take it to heart. They didn't believe. It says because the Pharisees were lovers of money. The Pharisees were convinced that money is proof of how much God loves us, that money's always a sign of God's blessing. And so even though they heard what Jesus was saying, they didn't really hear it. They didn't really believe it. They didn't really accept it. They were mocking. And so in our parable tonight, Jesus is saying, in effect, you better listen now before it's too late. Because once you die, it's going to be too late. Once you die, you're not going to have a second chance. You need to listen to the Lord Jesus now. You need to hear his word and welcome it and receive it and believe it and accept the promises of God now and all the blessings they bring. He says, if you won't listen to God's word, well, you wouldn't listen even if someone returned from the dead. Sometimes people are convinced that if only God would do this for me, if only God would do this miracle, if God would give me a sign, then I would believe. As if it's God's fault for not doing enough. We saw that this morning when in John chapter 6, when the Jewish people were saying to Jesus, well, you know, Moses, He gave us manna. He gave us bread from heaven. You know, we need that kind of sign. That's how we know he was from God. What kind of sign are you going to give us, Jesus? There's always going to be some people who have an excuse for not believing God's word. Well, Jesus warns us tonight that if you're not willing to listen and really accept and receive and believe God's word, you wouldn't listen even if someone returned from the dead. Okay, verse 27. The rich man has just asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus down with some water. Father Abraham says, I wouldn't be right to do it, and I can't do it anyway. And so verse 27, the rich man says, then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, the rich man is saying, well, if you can't help me, if you can't send Lazarus down here to hell, well, at least send him back to the living. Send him back to my dad's house. Send him to my brothers. I have five brothers. Send Lazarus back to earth to warn my five brothers. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man had the word of God during the lifetime. He was, you know, this is all apparently in Israel. So the rich man had Moses and the prophets. That's a reference to the Old Testament. Rich man could have listened to that. Likewise, the rich man's brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. Abraham says, listen to that. You know, that's all they need. It wasn't like the rich man didn't know any better. It's not as if his brothers didn't know any better. The Old Testament tells us that we shouldn't invest in all our just appearances and our own pleasures. The Old Testament tells us plenty about not wasting our riches on ourselves. The Old Testament tells us plenty about showing compassion on those in need. Abraham says, that's all they need. Just let them listen to the Bible. Listen to God's word. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But in the parable, the rich man says, no, Father Abraham. You know, that is, no, they'll never listen. They won't listen to God's word. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. The rich man is confident. Well, they won't listen to the word. But if they had a miracle, if Lazarus came back from the dead, that would do it. That's what they really need. And you'll hear this from people from time to time. If only God would give me a sign. They had the Bible, but that's not enough for some people. They need if only God would give me a sign. He said, if only God would send Lazarus back from the dead, then my brothers would repent. Then they would change. That's what they need. As if the word of God isn't enough. Abraham says, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. In other words, the Bible, even just the Old Testament, is sufficient for us to know what to do and what to believe. And he says, if they won't believe that, then they're not going to believe. Even if they see a miracle, even if they witness a miracle, even if they see someone come back from the dead, if someone's not going to believe, they're just not going to believe. If you won't listen to God's word, you wouldn't listen even if someone returned from the dead. And, of course, it's interesting. You wonder how much Jesus is being a little bit ironic because, of course, the time would come when Jesus would raise someone from the dead. In fact, more than one occasion when Jesus raised people from the dead. But you think especially, since we're talking about a man named Lazarus, there was another man named Lazarus who was a friend of Jesus who died. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that was just outside of Jerusalem. And that became very widely known. Lots of people heard about it. Many people still didn't believe. Even though Jesus raised a man from the dead, many people still didn't believe. And then when Jesus himself was crucified, we're told that on that day and that night, many tombs were opened and many people came back to life. And still many didn't believe. And then Jesus himself on the third day rose from the dead. And still, many don't believe. If you won't listen to God's word, if you won't take God's word to heart, then you won't listen, even if there was some great miracle, even if someone returned from the dead. And so the encouragement tonight is to listen now. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he offers us blessings based on his merits, on what he's done for us, on his perfect life and his death and his resurrection. And all we have to do is listen. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is receive. All we have to do is accept it. And so the encouragement tonight is listen now before it's too late. Okay, once you die, it's going to be too late. Listen now before it's too late. You don't need something else. You don't need some sign. You don't need a miracle. Listen now. Simply welcome and receive and accept the Word of God and all the blessings and promises it brings. If you won't listen to the Word of God now, well, then you wouldn't listen even if someone did return from the dead. All right, let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we're thankful, so thankful, that your blessings don't depend on us. They don't depend on us getting our act together and always doing the right thing and always obeying your law perfectly. We're thankful that your blessings come from you and your righteousness and your goodness. We thank you that you are not like the rich man. You are merciful. We confess, Lord, sometimes we are like the rich man, and sometimes we are not very merciful toward others. And in other ways, we are like Lazarus in the sense that we are poor and helpless, and we are completely dependent on you to show mercy to us. We thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is listen to your words. All we have to do is accept your promises. All we have to do is hear your words of blessing. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your promises, for the way you speak grace and forgiveness and mercy. We thank you for all that Jesus has done on our behalf, that when we were utterly helpless, worse even than Lazarus, you have done everything we need. And now, Lord, we simply sit and listen and receive your word and all the blessings it brings. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.